Hi, I'm Brennan Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Lois Schoenbrunn, Executive Director of the American Academy of Optometry. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Maryland, just outside of D.C., so I call myself a D.C. girl, because if I say Maryland, people think Baltimore.
And what did your parents do?
Dad sold carpeting, and Mom worked for the she worked for the National Institutes of Health, in the institute that ultimately became the NEI. It was neurological diseases and blindness.
So is that what got you interested in healthcare as a general professional field?
Honestly, don't know. I have always been interested in healthcare. When I was growing up, I wanted to do the first brain transplant, but fell into the association world, association management. Nobody grows up thinking, I want to be an association manager, and worked in healthcare organizations, was deputy director of the American Medical Women's Association, so women physicians and medical students. And this position came open, and I am the granddaughter of a mail order optometrist and the niece of a PCO grad. So when this position came open, I said, I got to apply for that. And I think I got the first interview because I said, I grew up climbing in and out of that great big chair.
So I actually was going to ask you, what brought you to the American Academy of Optometry and why did you stay?
Yeah. You know, I had reached a point as a deputy director in two separate organizations that I was spending a lot of energy thinking, yeah, I would do that differently. So it was kind of time to put my money where my mouth was. And then this position came open, and I said, I have to try. Got to the final interview, and 2 hours in, I thought, you know, I may not have this job, but I really like these people. And I've stayed because I really like the people. Our members are smart and fun. They do what's right. They're dedicated to lifelong learning. You know, life isn't always a bed of roses, but I feel like often I am the envy of my association management colleagues.
So you've been there for what, 22, 23 years?
June 10th of 18 was 21 years, so it's almost 22.
So what prompted you to earn your fellowship in the Academy?
A belief in what this organization does and a desire to support it. So I came in through the I've got air quotes going here, the special category, meaning I am neither an optometrist nor a researcher. It was remarkable to me. So let me back up. The special category is for people who make who are not doctors, not researchers, who make particular contributions to the field. And it was remarkable to me right from the start. That not just the Academy, but optometry in general has a phenomenal, penetration of volunteers. So we and the AOA and ASCO and NBEO, optometrists volunteer their time for this profession that they love. Unlike other professions, and in particular for the Academy, our volunteers do what volunteers are supposed to do. They design the education. They do our admittance exams. They handle awards. They lead, and they lead in the ways that they have unique contributions and unique skills. And I wrote my paper on volunteerism within optometry because it really is remarkable.
You're a sixth Dan black belt in Taekwondo. Why did you start Taekwondo?
My son was four and wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. mommy, karate! and so I asked around to my friends and said, anybody know a good karate school? And one of my friends said, you have the best martial arts school on the East Coast, 5 minutes from your house. And literally, I had grown up walking past the door and never noticed it. And so we took a first class together, and he was thrilled. Or no, we took he took the first class, sorry. He was thrilled. Yes, he wanted to commit. And I looked at the instructor and said, could I take this with him? So for the first 6 months, I was Miss Lois in the little kids class. And, you know, never knowing how, you know, whether it would stick. You never know with kids what's going to stick. And in so many ways, he was way better than Mama. You know, little kids are fearless. Their memories are better. So there were many times it was not at all infrequent that he would have to remind me what the next move was or help me do something. No, Mama. It's phenomenal exercise. Constantly forcing your body to do new things. It's my meditation. So other people run for the runner's high. When I get into the Dojang, which is a martial arts studio, the rest of the world goes away. And people would say to me, oh, do you imagine your board president on the bag when you kick the bag? Nope, because it all just goes away. It truly is that place where nothing else is happening. The world goes away. And I think we need that in life.
So what keeps you involved with Taekwondo at such a high level?
In our school, where I came up, everyone's a teacher, not an official instructor, but everyone is a teacher. I continue to learn from my students almost every day. I leave a class and I say, what did I learn today? And that's sort of how I live my life. But so I learned very quickly that I really do enjoy teaching, especially adults. I like teaching kids as well, but I especially enjoy teaching adults some of whom think that they are too old or too inflexible or too out of shape, whatever, because martial arts can take you from wherever you are and improve your life. Following in my grandmaster's footsteps, I became an international referee, was able to travel the world a bit and referee and meet amazing athletes and referee friends and coaches from around the world. And had really in the last 2 years, since I moved to Orlando, was not training regularly and really missed it. And in the last year and a half or so, have gone back to coaching and teaching more. And I just love it. I miss it, but I'm not doing it, so.
What's something else that your colleagues don't know about you?
Those who work most closely with me know that I have multiple sclerosis and was diagnosed in 1977. I am incredibly healthy, incredibly lucky, but it's one of the things that, one of the reasons that I stayed with Taekwondo as long as I did. I really believe that constantly forcing my body to do new things has helped modulate my MS. I took up paddleboarding when I first moved down here, so 7 years ago. Loved to be on the water, and I took up tennis about 2 years ago. And I'm really poor; I play very poorly, but I love it. love being outside. And probably the other thing, you know, people know that I am retiring-ish. As of the end of April, I don't know what the future holds. I'll probably do some consulting. I really enjoy raising money and help. I enjoy helping other people learn to raise money and enjoy it.
Well, that's actually a question I was going to ask you. What's next for you? You know, if you're going to do some consulting, any particular area?
Probably in fundraising. Maybe project management with associations. I also, how can I describe this in relatively few words? I have a need to do more to help people directly. I think we live in a pretty ugly time right now, and particularly for women, not just in this country, not just because of our political situation, but around the world. And I'm sure it's always been this bad, but there's a greater awareness and people are more familiar. And there's not much I can do for the women around the world who are raped, beaten, kidnapped, et cetera. I feel like there's more I need to do here for people, for women. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but that's part of what's driving my timing. As I just feel like I need to do more for people, to help people, and especially to help women.
Why retire now from the Academy?
It's time. 22 years is a long time. I'm tired. I'm older than most people think I am. It's time for new adventures. And part of that is being more involved in ways that more directly help people. Digress a little bit. At the annual meeting last year in San Antonio, it was amazing. The Academy and the Academy board and staff showed their appreciation for my contributions in many ways, and I really did feel the love. One of the most important things to me was that people talked about not just what I've done for the Academy or the profession, but how I have helped to build an infrastructure that allows them to be better doctors. And that resonates, that just makes me feel so good. I had no idea that people felt that way. I need that kind of feeling a little more often and more directly.
So what is one of the achievements for optometry that you're most proud of?
I think it's big picture. We have, when I was hired, I was told the Academy doesn't want to grow. We're elite. We don't want to grow. You know, we are elite. And I kept saying prestigious, and they were like, no, we're elite. We did not have significant student involvement. Our annual meeting was stable, but in an association, if you don't grow, you die. And we really were able to flip that thinking to A, recognize that there are tens of thousands of optometrists practicing who are Academy caliber and should be Academy fellows. And we want them. To flip that sense of among the students that the Academy is this elite, you know, academic, blah, 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 not for me, to, of course, the Academy is part of my professional future. Of course it is, because I want to be the best I can be. And I think flipping that thinking was the most significant thing we could do. It has fueled our growth of membership. It has fueled the phenomenal growth of our annual meeting. And it got our board thinking bigger. So 3 years ago, we had Malcolm Gladwell as our keynote speaker. 20 years ago, oh my God, that would have been, you know, forget it. He's too far afield from, you know, our daily lives. A couple of years before that, we had Drs. Jerry and Carol Shields, renowned, they're ocular cancer specialists. That's not the right term, but they spoke at our plenary. Amazing conversations. And people left that room. We had 3,500 people in the room going, oh my God, I wonder what I missed in my chair. That was amazing. And to be able to allow, facilitate thinking big and allowing the board and our leadership, our committees, to say, yeah, what really, let's think big and let's dream. What should we be doing and where should we be going? And facilitating that happening has just been, you know, an honor.
Do you have any regrets?
Well, I think everybody has regrets. I'm sure along the way, there were some board members who might have had amazing ideas, who didn't feel heard. You know, wish I could have done more. I wish I'd put a little bit more balance into working with our foundation, the American Academy of Optometry Foundation, and really help drive that. The foundation, the potential of the foundation is enormous. We still don't have the kind of penetration even within academy fellows, let alone outside the academy within the larger profession, to really understand what the foundation does and how important it is to provide funding for research and young researchers for the betterment of the profession. So I wish I'd focused a bit more on the foundation a little earlier.
Well, we're gonna change up the questions now for frivolous ones. This is the this is the Clark Chang commemorative question. What do you like to binge watch?
Oh wow! So I just finished binge watching all of the old episodes of The West Wing. Because, well, startlingly, the issues haven't changed very much. It's really sad, but the issues haven't changed very much. But it was smart and caring government, and I really needed that. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She's hilarious. They are hilarious and great, great acting. I'm not sure what my next one's going to be.
What's your guilty pleasure food?
peanut butter, mangoes. I live in Florida, the mangoes. Oh my God. And if I get through a day, and it's not really a guilty pleasure, but if I get through a day and I get to the end of the day and say, I haven't had an orange. Oh my God. Yeah. Florida oranges are amazing. Yeah. Up north, an orange is an orange. You have a juice orange and you have a navel orange. Down here, you've got like 16 varieties. And then, of course, most people who work most closely with me know that I drink tequila. I love a good tequila. So,
do you have a particular favorite?
I do. I have two. Don Julio 1942. Both are really good sipping tequilas. When other people are downing three glasses of wine, I am sipping one shot of tequila. So Don Julio 1942, and then much harder to find, and twice as expensive, unfortunately, is Casa Dragones Hoven. So it's House of Dragons and Hoven, J-O-V-A-N, I think. Both very different from each other, but lovely, lovely. I love turning people on to good tequila. I think tequila gets a really bad rap. People get drunk, and then they do a shot of tequila, and then they blame the tequila.
This is our last question. We inflict it on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
A couple of things spring to mind, and maybe that's not a good thing.
especially after talking about tequila.
None of them doing with tequila. So I went to Ohio State for the first year and a half of my college education. And back before the new stadium was built, long ago, I spent a crazy night in the pole vault pit.
Okay.
Bet you've not heard that one before.
How? What happened? How did you wind up in a pole vault pit?
Well, I don't know how pole vaulters train now, but it used to be that they would jump off a very high platform. I guess the training for falling appropriately. Jump off a very high platform into a massive pit of sponges. A bunch of us got in there one night and practiced jumping and falling, and we woke up there the next morning.
throwing yourself into a pit full of sponges.
Yes. Bet you've never heard that one before, right?
So was it your idea or just somebody else's idea and you decided it was a good idea?
Oh, I'm positive it had to be someone else's idea. It just had to be. Could not have been mine.
So you woke up in the pit, surrounded, you know, half buried in sponges.
Yeah, we fell asleep there.
Well, that's great. I like that one. Well, Lois, that's all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with me.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Vernon. Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye. Okay, take care.